Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we've got the latest in the propaganda efforts on both sides of the MLB labor dispute, and we're going to talk about some of your questions that you sent us on social media. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, and that's Vince Samperio of Chavezri and Fiends, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And while MLB is in a lockout, we are still in Locked On. We are resisting the urge to make a pun about Locked On and Locked Out. We are doing a better job resisting that urge than a lot of our Locked On counterparts because we are just a little bit better than all of them. So, Vince, first full day of the lockout is in the books, and I survived. Did you survive?
Yeah, I survived. It was kind of nice on my end not having to be on Twitter every minute of every day waiting for something to happen, or not even waiting, seeing things happen and having to post about them. So that was a welcome exchange. I wouldn't be mad at the lockout taking at least a month and, you know, give me a little bit of a slower December to kind of relax a little bit after a pretty wild season.
Yeah, you have to assume it's going to go at least a month because at the Christmas season and everything, I doubt that they're going to be working too hard on coming to an agreement. I assume after Christmas is when they'll really start buckling down and trying to get something figured out. But, you know, until then, we will continue to get propaganda. And as I mentioned yesterday, that's all that these public statements are, propaganda, and that's okay. You know, maybe I was a little too harsh yesterday. I said, don't even read it. You're welcome to read whatever you want, of course, but just remember what you're reading, and that's press. So there's plenty of ways to get information from people who aren't personally invested in the process. And that's where you're going to get your more accurate information. And remember that even just because you're on one side or the other doesn't mean that everything that side says or does is right or correct. So speaking of propaganda, Rob Manfred held a press conference. I have not punished myself by watching the whole thing, but I did see one little bit where basically he said, the worst part of baseball is when a player leaves in free agency, because then fans of the team he left are sad. And so why would you want to move that up by a year? Because the players want free agency to come sooner. They want free agency after five seasons instead of after six seasons, just so that younger players can get paid sooner and have a better chance of hitting free agency. The majority of players who make it to the big leagues never make it to free agency because their careers don't last that long. So they want to make it sooner to get to free agency. Rob Manfred said, why would you want to speed that up? That's the worst part of baseball. And I don't know, Vince, that free agency is, in my mind, not the worst part of baseball. It is sad when, you know, Corey Seager leaves your team and signs with the Rangers. But it's also happy when Chris Taylor re-signs with your team, or, you know, when you sign a big free agent. I think Mets fans are probably pretty happy right now. Rangers fans are pretty happy right now, because their teams are actually signing free agents. So I think Rob Manfred, I'm not going to give him the benefit of that. I don't think he forgot. I think he is intentionally ignoring the fact that every time a free agent leaves in free agency, he is also joining a new team whose fan base is happy. And all of that, it's kind of a zero-sum game. Somebody has to be sad for somebody to be happy, but you can't just say, okay, don't do the thing that makes people sad anymore, because then you also won't make people happy.
It's also boiling down one of the points of the players into kind of one thing. Now, if players were getting paid earlier in their career, I don't think they're as worried about free agency starting earlier. I would imagine. I don't think those two are necessarily, you know, hand in hand. I think it's one thing where if you're getting paid early in your career, you're not as worried about leaving in free agency, because the reason you want to leave free agency not necessarily to leave the team, but probably to make more money. Now, in some cases, it might be both. You know, someone might want to leave the team, but in this case, I would imagine that it's just to get more money. So, you know, to kind of put all that into that kind of mode, to also, you know, regardless of everything else, every owner of an MLB team can afford to keep whatever player around. So you're also saying like, oh, our owners are poor. They can't pay their players and all their players are going to leave in free agency. Now, like I said, there's cases where a player wants to leave because of the team, organization, whatever the case. Maybe they're not winning. Maybe they're not playing as much as they'd like or whatever that case is. But for the most part, it's all about, you know, money. And if these owners just ponied up, then nobody would be sad about them leaving. And you kind of wouldn't really be sad about not getting anybody because you could never really have them since they were never technically free agents.
Yeah. And I think ownership recognizes the fact that to the common person, a lot of times their instinct is to be not on the player's side just because the players are the ones we know how much money they make. We know that Max Scherzer is getting whatever it is, $43 million a year for the next 3 years because those contract details are public. What we don't know, with the exception of the Braves, every other team, we don't actually know the numbers as far as how much money the owners are making. And so the number we know is the one that most people base it on. And so it is very common. I remember this from the strike in 1994, and it's always been that way, and it always will be, is a lot of people just say, what are the players complaining about? They get paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. And, you know, I've seen the phrase millionaires against billionaires 1,000 times already today in one day. And that's so overly reductionist. It's, you know, most players in Major League Baseball are not millionaires because the average career is like a year and a half long. And so you always make the league minimum at the beginning. And so if you come up and you make $550,000 bucks a year, which is a lot of money, but, you know, if your career lasts a year and a half, that's $800,000. And then you figure you paid half of that in taxes because you're in the highest tax bracket right then. And so you've got $400,000 bucks and your career is over. You're 24 years old and you have the rest of your life to get another job or live on that $400,000. You know, it's not a case of millionaires against billionaires. And if anything, it's, you know, at least purportedly, one of the things the players are fighting for is to help more of the younger players become millionaires, because, you know, one thing that is true is that careers are short. And so if you work your whole life to make Major League Baseball, it would be nice if you can play, you know, 2 or 3 years, you could have enough money that at least you're not going to end up destitute, you know? And so, and that argument doesn't get much from the common person who has never and will never make $550,000 in a year. But, you know, when you go to college, you're expecting to have a career that's going to last you 40 years or whatever. And so if you can get to where you're making $125,000 a year or whatever, you know, whatever the number is, and it's different in different parts of the country, but you can live comfortably because you've got 40 years to build that up. Baseball players don't have that 40 years in their primary career. And so, but again, I recognize that argument doesn't get a lot of sympathy from the common people, and ownership knows that. And that's kind of the point. They can play on that public perception of the players being greedy millionaires wanting more money. And it works most of the time, unfortunately.
And the other part, like I mentioned yesterday, is that the players are the ones kind of demanding things right now because they're the ones that need some change. The owners don't want anything to change because revenues have gone up and player salaries have been stagnant. You know, yes, there's been bigger deals, but player salaries as a whole have been pretty stagnant for a while. And we've seen them go to younger players because they're cheaper. Veteran players have kind of got frozen out. So, you know, there's the player side doesn't do as good of a job as maybe they could if they really wanted, if they cared about public perception. You know, they probably could put a lot more out there in order to try to shift that. But at the end of the day, it's hard to educate everybody. So you got to worry about, you know, the actual negotiations rather than public perception.
Yeah. So we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about kind of what the players did on the first day of the lockout in solidarity with each other. And we'll talk a little bit about a playoff proposal that was made as part of these negotiations. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, this holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. Christmas time is all about eating delicious stuff, and that's good. Keep eating your delicious stuff, but also add some more delicious stuff like a Built Bar, you know, because there's no better time of year than Christmas time, the holiday season, to reward yourself and say, you know, I deserve something in my life that is covered in chocolate and delicious and also good for me. And that's Built Bar. That's what you need. Or if you need something a little bit smaller, a little bit quick, check out the marshmallowy treats that are called Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through, different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste so good. You won't believe they're filled with protein. And if you go to built.com right now, you can use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We are back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. Vince and I will speak for him, even though he's right there. I'll tell you, we love talking Dodgers with you guys. We really appreciate all of you who come here every day, and we hope you will continue to make us your first listen every day. So on the first day of the lockout, my true love gave to me every Major League Baseball player with the same profile picture. The players in solidarity on social media changed their profile picture to the little silhouette picture that Major League Baseball. So on MLB.com, Major League Baseball took off all the player photos and replaced them with this silhouette photo. And so the players said, all right, we'll do that on social media too. So they all replaced their not all, but most of them replaced their profile pictures with that or a variation of it. I saw, I think Randy Dobnak put his glasses and his mustache on his silhouette. I don't know if Max Scherzer put creepy, weird, different colored eyes on his yet or not, but maybe he will when he listens to this episode. But yeah, you know, it's a little thing. But you know, it's propaganda, but that's publicly, at least the players are showing support for each other and for their union.
Yeah, it's just a quirk, I guess, of what happened. I know someone sent me like Buster Posey's photo still there, but I was like, and they're like, oh, they forgot Buster. Like, no, Buster's not a current MLB player no more, so he doesn't fall under the same categories that these other guys are. So that's why if you do see photos, it's because they're not current major league players and they can still have their photo. I think Andy Burns was also one that people were bringing up, and that same reason he's not on a major league roster right now, so he's not under that umbrella. But yeah, it's just a quirky little thing, you know. The players, some of them have reposted the players association's statement on their Instagram, and I'm sure we'll see little things like that. I'm sure they'll have the deeper this goes, I'm sure they'll have some unified statements or unified like social media campaigns or whatever the case is. And you know, we're just gonna have to sit through it and wait for it and just know that it's coming, because you know, who knows how long it's gonna take right now.
Yeah. And my biggest frustration, again, you know, I've talked about this before, in these negotiations, you have MLB arguing on behalf of the owners in their best interests, or what they perceive to be their best interests. You have the union arguing in what they perceive to be the best interests of the players. And there's nobody arguing in favor of the best interests of the fans, or even more importantly, the game of baseball itself. And I would just like to go on public record saying I volunteer as tribute. I will be happy to sit down on these negotiations and be the person representing the fans and the game of baseball, because I think that's what's missing here. And I've always thought ownership is a little bit short-sighted and focused on short-term profits. And you know, I saw this in my real life about a decade ago. The company I was an executive in was working on selling to a venture capital firm, blah, 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 blah. And every meeting we had was, we need to maximize short-term revenue so that our books look great, so that we can maximize how much the founders are going to get when they sell the company. And every meeting was about short-term revenue. And a year and a half later, we were still having meetings about maximizing short-term revenue. And I finally said, hey, if a year and a half ago, if we had been focusing on maximizing long-term revenue, we wouldn't have to have this meeting right now. I could be working instead of sitting in this stupid meeting. And that's the same thing that's happening here. Everybody is so focused on the short term and not doing the things that are best long-term for the game of baseball. And the fact is, if you do the things that will attract baseball fans long-term, everybody will make more money. And you won't have to worry about how much of a percentage do we get, because everybody will be making more money. And so if you things like, hey, maybe our policy of making it impossible for people to watch the teams that they're most likely to want to watch because we have stupid antiquated blackout rules, maybe if we got rid of those stupid rules so that people could actually become baseball fans as kids and grow up into adult baseball fans who have money to spend, maybe then we wouldn't have to worry so much about this. Maybe if we stop doing all these things that are like actively dissuading people from watching the game, prosecuting people for, or, going after people for posting highlights. Hey, you know what? If people want to watch highlights of your sport, that means they're interested in your sport, stupid. Don't worry about whether you're getting a quarter every time somebody clicks on this video. Be excited that people are clicking on this video because they're more likely then to go to a game and give you $40 instead of a quarter. And all these things that, if somebody was in these meetings saying, okay, I get what you're saying, ownership, and I get what you're saying, union, but what if we did the things that make baseball awesome and make people want to love baseball and make it the most popular sport in the world again, and then you can all just get filthy rich? What about that idea? And so I am volunteering. I know I just gave away the good stuff for free, but if anybody wants to pay me to sit in on these meetings, I will happily, I'll take a hiatus from this podcast. I'll leave Vince on his own. I'll come fix MLB's labor dispute instead, because somebody needs to be thinking about the game of baseball and the fans, because nobody currently involved in the negotiations is.
Yeah, and that's just the way it goes. That's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say, and that's, a matter of fact with, even the players, as much as they might try to get the fans on their side, they're in it for, themselves a little bit more than they're in it for us. And, I'm sure they're not really tripping on blackout rules. Although it is funny sometimes when you see players saying, I can't watch, when they're home from injured and they can't watch their own team. But I think that's a matter of them not asking the right people if they want to watch the game, because I'm pretty sure they can. But either way, yeah, it's going to be a long, however long this is. And hopefully they just give us at least a couple things to talk about, throw some tidbits here and there and get some reports of things. And one of those things, I guess, if you want to jump into it, was a playoff proposal that was leaked, I guess, reported, that MLB put on the table, a 14-team playoff proposal where the number one seed in each league would get a bye. And then the number two and number three seed division winners would still go by division winners, would pick their opponent in the first round of the playoffs. And then the 4-5, whoever was left would next to whoever was left would play the other game. The other part of it was that the higher seed in the first round would have all three home games. It'd be a best of three series. That's the majority of that proposal. And, we're probably going to hear a lot of these in the next few weeks, but we heard this one first and it's something to talk about. So Jeff, thoughts on that playoff proposal?
I don't hate it because it keeps it at less than half the teams making the playoffs, which for some reason, that's a big deal to me. If more than half the teams make the postseason, it cheapens it. That keeps it at less than half the teams. And that's good. I don't know that I think any proposal where teams are choosing their opponent, I don't think that, as much as I love it, I love it for the WWE style of playing the heel and the mind games and everything. No team is ever actually going to want to choose their opponent, because when you choose your opponent, you are giving them, by definition, you're giving them bulletin board material. Even though in 2019, you and I both said, yeah, we'd rather play anybody than the Nationals, because the Nationals with that pitching, they're built for a short series. And even though they're not nearly as good a team as the Dodgers, they could take out a team like the Dodgers in a short series. And then they did, and it didn't happen the way we expected. And the Dodgers should have won that series. But, you and I, if we had been in charge of picking the Dodgers opponent, the Dodgers would not have played the Nationals in the 2019 NLDS. But if the Dodgers had been in charge of picking, the Dodgers wouldn't have wanted to make that choice. You don't want to be seen as shying away from a team. You don't want to be seen as disrespecting the team you're actually going to play. And so I know that's part of the appeal. I know for me, when I first suggested this kind of tongue in cheek in an article I wrote 4 years ago, part of the appeal is the bulletin board material and the WWE quality of it. And that's why I don't think anybody would ever actually go for it. Other than that, I don't hate the idea. You've got the number one seed getting several days off. And so you can play hard for the number one seed and know that if you get it, you're going to have a few days off. So you can reset your rotation, which gives that team the advantage. At least you would think there's been talk sometimes where having too long a layoff between series or whatever can make the bats go cold. I would assume that the being able to line up your pitching would outweigh the disadvantage of the bats going cold. So I like that aspect of it. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Vince? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, for me, 14 teams is probably still a little too much. I mean, this year we had in the National League a team with 90 wins make the playoffs. You're going to add, you know, two more teams to that, which would have dropped down to what the Padres and Reds, who had 80-something wins maybe, or so whoever else was in that realm. And then it just, yeah, you get the, if you're the number one seed, you get the bye, but it kind of still de-incentivizes the regular season a little too much for me. If anything, you know, I think then if that was the case, like 14 teams, I think the number one seed should have full home field advantage in the next round too. And just give, like, you know, some, you got to reward that somehow. And right now the number one seed is not really getting rewarded at all. And we saw it this year with, you know, the Giants having to play the 106 win Dodgers in the first round because of the current system. So I could be sold on 14 teams with some modifications to giving more incentives for playing well in the postseason. Also, I think just having the three divisions, it still wouldn't fix like that issue that the Braves would have been technically the number three seed this year, would have had a choice of who they wanted to play. And then the Dodgers would have ended up probably not getting picked by the Brewers or Braves. So they would have been the number four seed and they would have played somebody else, whoever was left over that didn't get picked, which would have been probably the Padres maybe. I don't know, but yeah, it's I need more incentives for the long haul, or else it would make sense to shorten the season if that's the case. So, which is not going to happen, but baseball, the biggest reason for baseball and how hard it is to win a World Series is because you go through 162 game season and then go through the playoffs. But 162 games should be rewarded a little bit more, like if you're the best team or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And my favorite 14 team proposal that I've heard still is, you have your three division winners and four wildcard teams in each league. And the four wildcard teams play a single elimination tournament where, you know, the 1 and 4 seed play each other, the 2 and 3 seed play each other, and then the winners play each other and then go in. And the winner of that little tournament has to play the team with the best record. And so the layoff isn't as long, and you do that on back-to-back days. And so you've got the wildcard team, whoever plays the top seed is playing. You know, they play on Sunday, the last game of the season, regular season. Then they play on Monday, and then they play on Tuesday, and then they start the division series on Wednesday against the number one seed. I like that. It gives them more playoff games. It gives them their expanded playoffs. And you could even do a, if you wanted to make it even longer, I don't know. But I like that approach where it's kind of, you're still rewarding the top seed, but you're rewarding winning your division. Every team that wins their division gets a couple days off and gets an automatic berth in the division series. So you're not really adding a whole extra round. You're adding a little cutthroat tournament. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. And your number three, a number three starter versus a number one starter is more of an advantage than a number two versus a number one, which is what it is now.
Yeah. So, all right. That's probably enough talk about that. And like you said, we'll have stuff trickling over the course of the lockout, and we'll talk about the stuff that's hitting and ignore the propaganda for the most part, or at least make fun of it. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to answer one or two questions that we got from you listeners. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Vince. So we've got a couple. We got quite a few questions. We're going to add these to our queue because we're going to, you know, there's going to be plenty of time to answer listener questions. When we asked for questions, we didn't expect to get to all of them in this episode. We're just going to grab one or two now, and we'll put the rest in the queue, and we'll get to them over the next week or so. One of them, though, was about the Corey Seager Instagram post. He posted two things on Instagram. One was farewell to LA, and one was I'm so excited to be a Ranger. And Dodgers Sage, Bryce at Dodgers Sage on Twitter, said, is Corey's goodbye on Instagram really that big of a deal? Apparently, I don't know, some people were upset about it, or it seems like it got a lot more attention than the actual words probably deserve.
Yeah, I wasn't on Twitter as much today, so if that's where some of the hate was, or where some of the talk about it was, I didn't really see it. I'll just read it real quick because it's short enough to read. Quote, from my first big league AB to a World Series champ, LA, thanks for taking a chance and embracing a kid with big dreams. Made a lot of great memories over the years with a lot of great teammates. I wouldn't read into anything. This is me now, quote, end quote. I wouldn't read into anything. Corey Seager's a man of few words. He's not a guy that's going to have a video editor on deck. You know, Mookie Betts makes some cool videos. I'm sure he has someone that does that for him. And he's not one of those guys. He's not like, you know, Jock Peterson had, I think, a long old thing, and maybe Kike Hernandez as well. But, you know, he's not Jock Peterson, Keegan Hernandez, he's Corey Seager, and you know, he doesn't have a lot to say. I wouldn't read into it at all. That's just the way he handles things.
Yeah, and that's really what it boils down to, is Corey Seager is a man of few words. And you can actually see on Instagram, one of the first comments was, I'm glad you were a Dodger, but dang, this goodbye was sorry. And it's like, you know, I don't know. It seems like people are just upset at Corey for leaving the Dodgers and looking for something to be mad about, because this is it's simple, but probably the best lesson to learn from this is, don't worry about people's farewell posts on Instagram in general. But especially a guy like Corey Seager, who, you know, in the 7 years he was a Dodger, we probably actually heard him talk 11 times. You know, like we don't hear him talk much. He's not that kind of person. And so this, like you said, this is about what we would expect from him.
Yeah. All right, next question, more up your alley, from Ryan Kennedy at Keeping Up With K. He says, what's the best cost-efficient Kershaw auto? Auto, we assume, meaning autograph.
Yeah, so assuming he's looking for a baseball card autograph. Baseball cards are different than they were when I was a kid. These days, you know, the cards come pre-autographed. You get autographed cards in packs. I've got some right here just from some box that I opened the other day. I've got a Jamai Jones, former Angels prospect. I'm holding it up if you're watching on YouTube. Former Angels prospect, now with the Orioles. I've got Jorge Oña, Padres prospect. This is from the Stadium Club Chrome product. And I got Garrett Whitlock. Is that his name? Yeah, Garrett Whitlock, Red Sox reliever. Just got those in the last couple days. It's kind of weird. But Clayton Kershaw autographs are, they're pretty expensive. Not the most expensive, but yeah, you're going to be paying in the hundreds most of the time, but there are a couple that you can get. And one of the secrets, if you're looking for autograph cards, is if you get some, a lot of times there will be cards with multiple players on them and autographed by a lot of them, so autographed by multiple players on one card. And when you get that, a lot of the time you can, the value will actually be driven down by who he is on the card with. And so one good example of that, I'm seeing on eBay right now for $99 plus, let's see, I can't see if there's plus shipping, but for $99, you can get a Clayton Kershaw autograph card from 2008, maybe that's what that says, 2007. It's not Topps, which is one of the big things. So it's an unlicensed card. Which drives the value down some, and unlicensed doesn't mean illegal. It just means that Only Topps right now has the license from the MLB Players Association to actually use players' likenesses and team names and everything. And so this one, you've got Kershaw in a blank cap. So he looks like a villain who's breaking into a building on 24 to bomb it. And you look at him like, nobody wears a blank cap. Come on, Jack Bauer, stop that dude. That's what everybody looks like on these unlicensed cards. But the big thing driving down the value on this card, the reason it's only $99 is because also on the card are Kyle Drabek and Yovani Gallardo. And so it's got three autographs on it of Drabek, Kershaw, and Gallardo. And so Drabek is totally just driving down value. Gallardo is mostly driving down the value, and Kershaw is kind of keeping the value up there. So for $100, that's not a bad deal. I don't think you're going to find actual licensed autographs, legitimate certified. That's what I'm looking for. Certified autographs. You're not going to find anything much for less than $100, but that's a good approach. Go for unlicensed products with multiple players on them, and you might be able to find something in a reasonable price range. But if you're looking for tops of just Kershaw, you're going to be spending hundreds of dollars, and the closer it is to his rookie year, the more you're going to be spending. So
there you go. You're going to have to give a tutorial one day on baseball cards, maybe.
Hey, I'm open to any other baseball questions you guys have. I have way more baseball cards than my wife wishes I did. I've got this Albert Pujols in a Dodger uniform, his Topps update card. So that's kind of fun. I actually just got my first Max Scherzer in a Dodgers uniform, and there won't be very many of them. I assume Top Series 1 next year will have Scherzer in a Dodgers uniform, and there'll probably be a short print of him in a Mets uniform. But yeah, you know, baseball cards are fun. So I think that's probably all we have time for today, right?
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to say before we wrap this one up, Vince?
No, I'm good today.
Cool. Well, thank you all. Again, thank you for your questions. We will get to the ones we didn't get to. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And today, for your second listen, go ahead and check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. If you're not subscribed to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get podcasts and or on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe in those places now. We are giving away gifts every time we hit a round number, multiple of 100 of subscribers on YouTube. Our current giveaway for 700 subscribers, we're giving away a copy of Miracle Men, a book by Josh Suchon about the 1988 Dodgers. It's a really good book, and I happen to have an extra copy. So, we're giving away a copy of that. It's a hardback copy. It's a nice book. So all you got to do is find that tweet on our Twitter feed and retweet that for a chance to win. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. Or if you want to shoot us a text or leave us a voicemail, you can do that at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one.